to On the Money, where you can find out anything and everything to do with finance, business, and the economy. On the Money comes to you from the studios of Radio 2SER and broadcast nationwide on the Community Radio Network. I'm Tanya Katsanis, and this week we're celebrating International Women's Day. It's the day we appreciate women and all that they do. Even though in recent times, women have been able to narrow the pay gap, however, there are still several industries where women are being paid an average of 20% less. On the Money is celebrating women in business this International Women's Day. We'll look at what drives them, what frustrates them, and how they stay focused to achieve their goals. It's going to be a great show. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to On the Money. International Women's Day is Monday, 8th of March, and the theme for 2021 is Choose to Challenge. This theme focuses on the gender pay gap and gender equity for both in the workplace and in life. It's very relevant when talking about women in business, as many women leave the corporate world to start their own business for reasons that include wanting faster career progression, wanting to be paid their worth, as well as wanting greater flexibility to manage family obligations. Joining me on this very special show are three fabulous women. Philippa Aslanis, Executive Director, Intimo Apparel. Catherine Blizzard, Small Business Advisor, Hospitality Specialist and Customer Service Specialist. And Sarah Cummings, Principal at Sarah Cummings Consulting and co-founder of tech startup Teach TED. And she's also a public speaker, if that wasn't enough. Now, welcome, ladies. How are you going?
Great, thank you.
Now, Catherine, I wanted to start with you because you have a career in running cafes and obviously in hospitality and moved to business advisory, but you recently helped your son with his struggling cafe that was in a semi-industrial area. Now, the thing that impresses me with that is you were able to double turnover during COVID. So how hard was that to do?
Great question. Thank you, Tanya. Well, that was hard, but... there were two main core values, actually, that I carried with me throughout business, the core values of care and familiarity. And those two values really played a major role through COVID because we had established relationships with customers. They already trusted us. They loved us and we loved them. We cared about them and they cared about us. And it was really interesting that when COVID hit, we had customers who actually came into the cafe with envelopes of cash wanting to help us, fearing that we may close down. And what COVID did was, because we had built ourselves as the local favourite, because that's something that I've always done in business, try to create that local favourite. We found enormous success from our locals who chose to come to us. Of course, we had to change our business model. We did have dine-in service and we had to quickly convert everything to takeaway. And we did implement COVID regulations and rules for customers, but that familiarity really worked for us. The customers knew us and the trust. And also we found that a lot of customers, when the new ones, came to us because they were suddenly working from home. They weren't working in their offices in the city and looking for a local, you know, great takeaway.
So you're building relationships with people and then modifying your menu to suit that. So if we're talking about building relationships, Philippa, you're an executive director now at Intimo Apparel, and that's not just bras and undies. That's also quite emotional and building of relationships. So how important is that in terms of the sisterhood that you've built and building yourself a multi-million dollar business?
Definitely. Having trust and building rapport is, you know, the key, I feel, because people need to feel, I put them in the most vulnerable place and they need to feel that they can trust me, that I respect them. And, you know, talking about the core values is about strength and respect. And I feel that, you know, you need to get to know somebody and the way they think, so you can actually work to their strengths. And, you know, when it comes to ladies apparel and also building an incredible team, is that you need to be relatable, definitely, to women. And then the relationship just builds, but definitely is building rapport and then the respect, and then the rest comes.
Now, Sarah, you've got a financial background. You run a couple of businesses. You've got the financial and the sort of consulting, which also does marketing. How important is that relationship, and how did you cope during COVID?
Yeah, I think relationships when you're a consultant are everything. You know, jobs don't get advertised. So it's very much, pretty much all of the work that I got has been through word of mouth. And when you're not a big name brand like an Accenture or something like that, you need people who've seen the quality of your work who go, actually, you'd be really helpful in this particular job that I'm doing at the moment. In terms of COVID, I was quite fortunate that just before COVID, I'd locked in a couple of retainers with some clients, which really helped. But, you know, getting to reality, one upside of COVID was that actually I could defer my mortgage for a couple of months that let me catch up a bit. So, you know, there weren't all negatives that came out of it for me. Being a consultant, of course, you work from home a lot, so not having to be in the city didn't really have a huge impact on that part of my working life, but I did really miss all the people.
Now, I do want to touch, I just want to stay with you, Sarah, for a sec, because you also have a startup called Teach TED, but this is a startup that's been going for a while. So can you explain to us sort of a bit of background of what Teach TED is and why there's been such a hold up?
Sure. So Teach TED is a digital health startup. We basically help families prepare their children for medical experiences like going to hospital or getting blood tests using a version of play therapy. So stories, activities, playtime where they can engage with a toy or a story to help the child feel a lot more comfortable about what's coming up. And when children are less anxious, they're a lot easier to treat. They tend to require less escalated interventions and they're more compliant with ongoing treatment. So it's a good thing all round. And of course, you have a happy child rather than a screaming child. We, of course, you know, like everyone else, were impacted by COVID. Our biggest issue was we had just started a clinical trial testing, a digital tool we've built for blood tests with a group in Sydney Children's Hospital and UNSW. And we opened up to recruit patients the week before they locked everything down for COVID. So that got put on hold, but I'm pleased to report it has picked up again now and starting to get some great results come in for that about how we've been able to reduce the anxiety felt by the parents and the children, but also improve the efficiency of getting those tests completed.
Catherine, I want to talk to you about your business advisory, and obviously you've talked to a lot of businesses, especially over the years. What do you find that the common link is for businesses in terms of their biggest challenge, in particular women?
I think women are very generous in business, and I think one of the greatest challenges for women is that a lot of us don't have enough value in our self-worth. And one of the greatest challenges I found with women in business is that they're reluctant to charge. And that you know, impacts their business, it impacts their life and their relationship with their family, especially consultants or, you know, people in professional service such as speech therapists, just not charging. And that was a common thread.
Why is that? Is that a confidence thing, or is it because they feel that they're worth it, they're not worth it?
In the medical field, a lot of it is, oh, my clients, I feel sorry for them, because especially if it's related to children, they don't want to charge families too much if their children need care. Some of it is confidence. Am I good enough to charge, you know, $200 an hour? Am I good enough for that? So, yes, there is a lot of lacking of self-confidence in women in business and not enough self-worth.
Philippa, can I ask, when you started, obviously, at Intimote, did you feel, coming from the corporate world, did it challenge your confidence? Did you feel a little bit unsure, and how did you overcome that?
I had two small children, and I had been at home for about 5 years. So leaving the corporate world and then raising the kids when they were younger and then moving into Intimo, I definitely, you know, you lose a bit of your skill set, I think, and your confidence being at home. And I think the greatest thing for me with Intimo was that it definitely did challenge me, but it was also a really safe environment. So it didn't matter, you know, that I wasn't up on all of the things and I wasn't feeling overly confident about my abilities in the field. So I was supported and really encouraged. And really encouraged to stretch and just contribute. And so I felt really safe, and then my confidence lifted, and you know, I was where I was meant to be.
Sarah, you're the same. You had a corporate background and then moved into the private industry. How did you find that transition?
Yeah, I've worked in all sorts of size of corporate businesses and small businesses and running my own business a few times. And I find that I quite often move between them because I like different parts of them, and they offer different things and also offer different frustrations. So I definitely loved being part of a larger corporate where you had access to so many amazing people that you could learn from, and, you know, they had organized professional development and you went to conferences and all these sorts of things. But I also loved smaller business where you get to have your hands in everything and know what's going on. I'm always really interested in how everything connects together. And sometimes in a bigger business, it got me into mischief because people thought that I was doing something that was sort of outside of my job description, but it was more just curiosity. So, you know, that sort of interpretation of why I'm doing things has been a challenge for me in the corporate world, whereas I think in startup land, everyone's just like, of course you want to know everything, because generally startup people are curious people.
I've a question for all of you, actually, and I think, Catherine, we'll go to you first. Is there ever a time in any of the time you ever owned a business you just wanted to walk away, and what made you stay?
Yes, actually, Tanya, you know, life isn't full of success. There are failures in there. As long as we don't consider failure to be the opposite of success and just a learning experience, we can easily pick ourselves up and go. But there have been times, and those times have been when I've really lacked vision. And whether it's I'm working for someone or working for myself, if I'm doing something when my vision is lacking, then I will struggle to have passion. And if I don't have passion for something, I simply cannot wake up in the morning and do it. So, yes, I've had to walk away from things where there has been no passion.
Philippa, how Absolutely. Do you feel about that? Has there ever been a time with Intimo that you've just wanted to pack it all in and just leave?
Yeah, sometimes you have those days or moments where you think, you know, you are working really hard and you're trying to forge ahead and challenge yourself and trailblaze different, you know, the industry, and it can be challenging. I think change sometimes scares people, so, and people like to continue to do the same thing every day. And I think there can be times, and there was times where I said, oh, you know, it's just not worth it. But, you know, I'm glad that I pushed through that, and that was probably my own, I think, sometimes a little bit of my self-belief as well coming there and thinking it's easy to quit, like it's really easy to quit. And so it's like, if it's really bothering me, I always reflect on myself and think, you know, is it about me or is it about what I'm doing and where I'm working? So,
and yeah, Sarah, definitely. How about you? What about you? Are there, because you run quite, you've been involved in a number of things aside from businesses, you do community work. Is there ever a time you just want to throw your hands in the air and walk away? And what keeps you there?
I think I have the opposite problem. I'm really good at starting things and very bad at letting go. But, you know, I've had, so for example, Teach TED, we actually started that in 2012, my co-founder and I, and we were all guns a-blazing, and then various things happened in our personal lives that meant that we had to stop. And I just had to make the call to put it aside, that and a celebrant business that I was running at the time. And it was one of those things that just kept pottering along in my head. And, you know, I'm a big fan of paying to retain all the domain names and the business names. And, you know, 2018, eventually it just got so loud in my head that I left my corporate job to kick it back off again, because I was always talking about it and people kept saying it was, you know, a great idea and let's do this. I mean, but I have 3,000 magnets and a few bags branded Engage Celebrants that are living in my garage as a reminder of businesses that I've given up. So I think it's more about just being okay with whatever you have to do and accepting that sometimes things are outside of your own control, and not to beat yourself up. And I think, as Catherine said, it's not a failure. It's just a thing that happened in your life.
That's true. Well, why don't we take a quick break? You're listening to On the Money. It's the International Women's Day special, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to On the Money with me, Tanya Katsanis, coming to you from the studios of 2SER and broadcast around Australia via the Community Radio Network. International Women's Day is Monday, 8th of March, and joining me is Philip Aslanis, Executive Director of Intimo Apparel, Catherine Blizzard, Small Business Advisor, Hospitality Specialist and Small Business Specialist, and of course Sarah Cummings, Principal at Sarah Cummings Consulting, co-founder of tech startup TeachTed and public speaker. Now, I need to ask you this question because I know it irks you, Sarah, but successful women are often asked, how do you juggle work and family?
Yeah, I've given up trying to juggle. I just blend them all at once. And one of the things that I find really helpful is to surround myself with people who have similar lives to me. So they understand the sorts of challenges that I go through. I also am the primary income earner. My husband's the primary carer, so I'm sure that makes things a little bit easier for me. But I do find it helpful to look at it not in terms of creating a balance on a daily or a weekly basis. I just accept that sometimes some parts of my lives will take over for weeks and weeks at a time, but that's not going to last forever.
Because it is the theme for International Women's Day is to choose to challenge. We're constantly fighting for the pay equality, but the gender equality when it comes to balancing that work-life balance in a household, we don't address it as often as what we should. So, Philippa, I know you've sort of said you've come home from a late day and you've had to unload or load the dishwasher. So how do you address that gender equality in your household?
Get a good talking to you the next morning about, you know, everyone has their roles at home. But, you know, it can be frustrating, definitely, in that you are working really hard and just as hard as, you know, all the people in the household. And just having that respect in the household, I think, is really important. And some days you just got to let it slide as well. You know, we all get really, really busy. And, you know, sometimes I come home and the kitchen's clean and the washing's folded up. So it's, you know, give and take. But yes, it can be challenging, definitely.
Catherine, how about you? You've got a very busy household as well. So how does that balance work for you, or you just suck it up and do it all?
Yes, well, you know, culture has a little bit to do with this question. I grew up in a family where my mother did everything, and but she worked as well, but she did everything as well in the home. Like Sarah, I've had times where I've been really busy and there are times when I've been at home. But one thing my husband and I agreed on years ago, because I have been in hospitality since the age of 18, that when I did have a business, as a family, we'd sit down and we'd actually plan what was going to happen for the 2 to 3 years that I'd be working 7 days a week, because we had to. And really, it was about me and my husband sitting down and identifying what we liked and what we didn't like. And my husband really loved ironing with his shirt off in the sun. So that's what he did every Sunday. He loved to do the shopping because he felt that I was always attracted to things on special, anything that was new, and I'd come home with too much food. So he wanted to do the shopping and he built that in with his walk on a Saturday morning. So, you know, you've got to give and take a little. I do realize my husband had his own, you know, goals, and he wanted to be, job titles very important to him, and he had to work a lot, and I had to support that as much as he supported my goals with business. So it was about communication, kindness, and respect. And we had to work together. There were hard times, but we did have to work together to achieve our common goals, really, which was to buy that dream home or to buy that investment property. Why else are we working this hard?
Yep, I hear you. So I also have a question. We're evolving now because you've had your businesses for a while, et cetera. I know, Philippa, you're evolving yourself and wanting to do more. So you're wanting to turn into a personal brand where you inspire women. And can you give us a bit about, tell us a little bit about that and what's the inspiration behind that?
I think COVID, you know, for many of us, there was a silver lining because it gave us a chance, especially for small business owners that really had to have time out. And it gave us a time to actually reflect on our business. We often work on the treadmill of life, I call it, and, you know, the years can fly by and we don't have time to actually look at what we're doing and where we're going because the years do fly by. And so for me, COVID gave me an opportunity to have a look at my business and then look at my brand. So as well within the Intimo umbrella.
So that's the Philippa Aslanis brand. It's not. Yep.
Who is Philippa Aslanis? And it was a really great reflection for me personally to do that, because it's often, I think, as women, is that we actually don't sit back and give ourselves a pat on the back and think, wow, look how far we've come, what we've achieved. And it was just nice to stop and then go, well, I just want to bring more of Philippa out into the world and show, and hopefully other women identify with me and that I inspire them to, you know, keep moving forward and keep achieving their goals.
Now, Sarah, you've got your own brand because you are Sarah Cummings Consulting. So what's the evolution for you as a brand?
I got sarahcummings.com.au a while ago just because I was quite excited that I could get my own name as a domain name. And then when I went out into business for myself, I didn't really want to build up a brand. Interestingly, I'm actually in the process of building a consulting group with another person as a different leg to what we're doing. But I think similar to Philippa, I've always seen that I sort of have a social responsibility in a way to put myself out there and be very open and transparent about things that I am doing and the challenges that I face, because a lot of people only see the sort of top level of me and think that life has been super cruisy and, you know, you get to the top of exec in financial services and it must be because you're single, have no kids and, I don't know, went to the right schools or something and had some very clear linear path to get there. And that's definitely not what my life has been like. I kind of feel a responsibility to show everyone almost how messy it is underneath, so that you know, they feel like, well, my life's messy too, so maybe I too can, you know, get to these things and understand that it's not this nice, neat, linear journey. I've always been quite comfortable using my own name in things, but if I've built businesses that I expected to scale, I've always gone for a brand name because I want to be able to remove myself from it at the end. So my use of my personal name is more so that people remember who I am, rather than with my Teach Ted stuff, they're often like, I remember you, you're the one with the bear.
Which is good because you need that. Now, Catherine.
Yeah, they remember that.
I need to talk to you because you're on the final stages of a well-earned break to recharge and get ready for your next adventure. So before I ask you about that next adventure, I want to know how important that recharge was.
Well, it was so crucial. It was a very interesting point, and that came to me just out of the blue, out of nowhere, where I just thought to myself, I can actually stop. I'm going to give myself permission to have a break, a well-earned break that I haven't had in years, because really in the past, I may have had businesses every 2 years or so, but I was always planning for the next business. There was never really a break in between businesses. I was always on to the next project, planning and looking. But for the first time in my life, I stopped. And I've really reflected on what I've done. And it's like I've achieved what I wanted to achieve. Why do I, you know, where to from now? But like Philippa and Sarah, it's actually time to give back. And I started as an advisor 6 years ago thinking that it was then that I wanted to do that. But I was too busy. I was still too far in business 6 years ago. But today, I actually don't have the fire to start another business. What I do have the fire or the calling for now is to give, show or teach people how to do it for themselves.
And I think that's important. That is so, so important to give back. So I'm going to ask one final question. I'll start with you, Philippa, because we're almost out of time. Is if you're to give anybody any advice about wanting to start a business, a young lady out there or an older lady, because the statistics are showing that women over 40 are jumping off the corporate bandwagon and starting businesses, what would you offer as advice?
I would say, you know, if you have that yearning, definitely just go for it. Whether it's successful or it's not, you've actually given it a go, and so much personal development will come from it. And it may not be the thing that you envisage initially, but it's the stepping stone to get you on the right path to do it. So just go for it. Small, simple now is always my motto.
Sarah, what would you offer as advice to anybody wanting to start their own business?
My motto has always been just do it and see what happens.
So it's like for forgiveness, not permission?
Well, no, it's more, look, it's kind of like that, you know, the ground won't move under you until you step out and see what's there. So just do it anyway and see what happens. The worst that can happen is it doesn't work and you go and do something else. I think people forget how well supported they are generally in terms of being able to go back into other roles and things. But my biggest tip for anyone is always, you know, put yourself into the world that you're going into. So when I decided to create a startup, I went to a whole stack and still do go to a lot of startup events, and you meet all sorts of interesting people there who they might be able to help you with what you're doing. They might potentially be an investor or a client. Yep. But generally, I get energy from them, and hearing their stories will often help me when I'm having a really crappy day.
Well, we've run out of time. Catherine, quickly, I'll give you 10 seconds. What's the advice?
No. Well, Tanya, I'm not going to give any advice because we have no time, and I talk too much about this area because there is a lot people have to think about. But I will say that people should come along to the International Women's Day on Monday for Georges River Council, because that's where we can impart more of our knowledge. We'll have more time to talk to you before, during and after the presentation. So come along and hear all about it, I say.
And that's all we have for you on The Money this week. A special thanks to our wonderful and inspiring women, Philippa Aslanis, Executive Director, Intimo Apparel, Catherine Blizzard, Small Business Advisor, Hospitality Specialist and Small Business Specialist, and of course Sarah Cummings, Principal at Sarah Cummings Consulting and Co-Founder of Tech Startup at Teach TED and Public Speaker. International Women's Day is Monday, 8th of March, so remember to celebrate all the awesome women in your life. Don't forget the hashtags ChooseToChallenge and IWD2021. Thanks to our executive producer, Roderick Chambers. On the Money is produced in the studios of Radio 2SER for the Community Radio Network with the assistance of the Community Broadcasting Foundation. You can find all our shows and stories at 2ser.com/onthemoney. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or your favourite podcast app. Follow us on Twitter and look for the @onthemoney2ser and find us on Facebook. I'm Tanya Katsanis. We'll be back again next week to give you the inside running on all things financial. Thanks for your company and happy International Women's Day.